This is Bill Messerly, the Executive Director for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We're excited to bring you a special update from Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Welcome, Your Excellency.
Thank you, Bill, and hello to you and to all who are listening on St. Gabriel Radio.
Every day seems like it lasts longer than a regular day during these times, doesn't it?
Exactly. And certainly, all we kept saying yesterday is, it's only been a week.
You mentioned off-air that there's a lot of creativity that has been spurred on through this challenge. Speak to us about that.
Yes. You know, in the midst of a lot of restrictions and a lot of concern about the gravity of the coronavirus and the epidemic, I'm also seeing this great flood of creativity, certainly from our parishes, and I know how people like to stay connected to their parishes. I'm seeing Facebook events where there are some discussions back and forth, lots of live streaming of the Mass from different parishes, certainly all of the great things you're doing on St. Gabriel Radio. There are a lot of groups are continuing to meet. A lot of our prayer groups are continuing to meet, but they're using Zoom, I believe, on the computer or other programs so that it's more like a conference call or a video conference call, so that people can remain connected. It really is inspiring.
Bishop Robert J. Brennan, you also mentioned at Mass yesterday on St. Gabriel Radio from the Cathedral our moral responsibility as it relates to the governmental orders.
Yes. So, of course, yesterday Mass was at 10:30, and I was talking at Mass about the moral responsibility we have for the common good. So I had been using the term extreme charity, and I think that still applies. We're called to a moment of real charity, making sacrifices and accepting restraints on our behavior or changes to our behavior out of concern for people who are more vulnerable. But it's kind of ramped up a little bit to, it's not just an exercise in charity, but it really is a moral responsibility that we are being asked to undertake. Now, that was in the morning. Wouldn't you know, in the afternoon, Governor DeWine issued that stay-at-home order, which really makes that moral responsibility even greater, that we really have to look out for one another, and staying in is going to do that. So, yeah, we're making real sacrifices in terms of our churches being places of gathering, and yet we're going to go through all of this so that we are responsible citizens. You know, when the governor mentions the religious exemptions, there are two elements to that. He's not saying, oh, that these things should continue to occur. Basically, he's recognizing that First Amendment right that we have, that government should not interfere with our worship. That said, we need to do our part and respond in kind. So he's recognizing, you know, that the constitutional limits. The other thing is, I think he's allowing us some of that flexibility so that we can provide some of these live stream services and things of that nature to be able to serve people at home. So, yes, I spoke a lot about moral responsibility, and the feedback I'm getting from people has been really encouraging, both from the priest and from some of the correspondence I've seen. People are getting it, and they understand and see that this is something very, very serious, and hopefully something that's very, very temporary. I don't know how long this will last, but maybe the more seriously we take it, the shorter it will be.
you talk about being morally responsible as it relates to the physical distance that we are from each other, but you've also talked about how to be connected socially. Any advice for us on how to stay connected?
Well, the first one is prayer. I mean, and the basic prayers. You know, we can be creative in our prayers, but, you know, sometimes when it's hardest, it's easy to go back to the basics. The Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Rosary, reading of Scripture, that encounter with Jesus Christ by reading his Gospels. Those things are basic. You know, the other thing is, where a lot of us now are stuck at home, you might say, and we're in very close quarters, and that puts strains on families. I can joke about having to put up with one another and feeling the inside tension. But on the other hand, there are opportunities for families to pray in ways that they maybe didn't have an opportunity before because their lives are so scattered. So people are taking up that challenge and doing it very, very well.
And I've noticed in our own family, it seems like our family is more receptive to family prayer during this time, so it truly is an opportunity, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And, you know, two parts, again, moral responsibility that the governor did make is by way, not so much of exception, but by, you know, he's saying use common sense. He is asking us to continue to check in on our neighbors, particularly on the elderly. He's asking us to reach out to family members, to people who are in need. So there might be simple little things that we can do to encourage one another or meet one another's needs in this critical time. But he also is relying on our social service agencies and on our parish outreach kinds of efforts. So we're still very engaged now in new ways, but we're still very engaged in feeding the poor and trying to meet the needs of the poor. It gets harder, I have to admit, but I see people making heroic efforts. Not something we should be doing out on our own, but again, under the right guidance, under the Catholic Social Services or St. Vincent de Paul, we might still be able to do some heroic things. And it might be that some of these agencies need a little bit of extra financial support so that they can meet the needs, you know, maybe buying more packaged food rather than putting things together. So any ways that we can help alleviate those efforts, that's too part of the moral responsibility.
Yes, we're all called to help financially, especially during this time when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, I've been seeing some acts of tremendous generosity, things that are inspiring in the last few days. Very, very inspiring.
Would you like to share any of those stories?
Well, I can tell, you know, I want to respect people's privacy, but I know of one family that has the means to do this, but has given some generous resources to help the families in a particular school to get gift cards for basic food items, things of that nature, and large, you know, some substantial donations. The Catholic Foundation has put aside some money from its own already dedicated money for social service. They've ramped that up a little bit, but members, whether it be of the board or people who have made investments or donors, have all stepped up to a special fund so that they can help meet direct needs of families. So those are some simple, but like I said, very inspiring examples.
You're listening to Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, with his update on May 23rd, 2020. Bishop Brennan, we talk about connectedness, but also we need to stay connected with Rome, huh?
We do. And you know what? I think the Holy Father has been wonderful in trying to keep us all connected. I thank him for that. So we've gotten some guidance on a few things that would have been questions for us. Some of these we'll be sharing on the website. Some I'll be sharing with pastors. So we got some guidance on how we might approach Holy Week. We're making our plans, but of course plans are subject to what the situation will be when, you know, 2 weeks ago on everybody's health and our ability to do the things we'd like to do. But we're hoping, certainly St. Gabriel will be a key part to be able to share the Holy Week experience with people at home by way of streaming and radio. The other thing is, yesterday at Mass I spoke a little bit about the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and in speaking about that, I referred to the Catechism and what happens when you really can't make it to confession. And so, again, the stay-at-home order, which I think is prudent, and more importantly, the need for us to remain distant, isolated, stay at home, that need constitutes the legitimate impediment to us being able to get to confession. And the church has always provided for that, you know. So I referred to the Catechism yesterday. If you went to the Catechism, I think it's number 14. I have it right here. I think it's 1452. Yes, number 1452 in the Catechism. After Mass, we got some guidance from the USCCB with the document from the Apostolic Penitentiary, which essentially made that same point. There are two points. The penitentiary says, when the individual faithful find themselves in the painful impossibility of receiving sacramental absolution, it should be remembered that perfect contrition, coming from love of God, beloved above all things, expressed by a sincere request for forgiveness, and accompanied by that firm resolution to have recourse as soon as possible to sacramental confession, obtains forgiveness of sins, even of mortal sins.
So perfect contrition, and then what was the second?
The resolve to get to confession.
Okay,
so perfect contrition. What is perfect? Let's talk about this. What is perfect contrition? Perfect contrition requires love of God, a sincere desire for forgiveness, an ardent commitment to receive the sacrament of reconciliation when it's available. Perfect contrition means going deep into your heart and recognizing, you know, I'm sorry for my sin because it displeases God, and I really do want to love God with all my heart, and I recognize how much God loves me. And with that in mind, I am truly, truly sorry. And, you know, you make that act of contrition, and then that resolution. And resolution is a very simple thing. I promise, I resolve that as soon as it's available, I will make that effort to get to confession. That's what the church gives us as an instrument. It's always been there. It's just now we're in a need almost universally for that possibility, you know? So yesterday at Mass, I said to people, and I'll repeat it now, perhaps today, even now, right now, you might take a moment of quiet reflection. Examine your conscience. Then focus, really focus on your love for God. Tell God how much you love Him. Think of the infinite love God has for you, and express your sorrow at having offended the Lord, who loves you so much. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. Offer that act of contrition. Resolve, as you do in the act of contrition, to sin no more and to go to confession as soon as possible. And then the last step, probably most important. So I invite listeners, even now, to take that opportunity. You know, this will end. And we'll be out there aggressively trying to meet you. In fact, I've heard from priests who are really looking forward to being able to do even more to meet people in that sacramental need.
Bishop Brennan, would you like to close with a prayer?
I would. In these days, we ask the intercession of Mary and all the saints. We cry out in our moment of need, and we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May Almighty God bless each and every one of you.
You've been listening to a special update from Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. To listen to this online, go to stgabrielradio.com, click on Archives, and look for Bishop Brennan. And his information will be there each day so that you can get those updates if you don't hear them live. Now we go back to our regularly scheduled programming.